Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
Welcome. I'm Solazar and this is my Metaphysical Musings. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies, as well as the informal connections we form when we participate as part of the community. Now, this show will share a variety of metaphysical subjects. First, I want to thank Angel Thacker and the New Age Guild for letting me be a part of the Spirit Talk lineup. Now, for those who listen to me here or on my Good Vibrations radio show, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. Allen chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. Allen wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essays have been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. And for the 17th of the month, James Allen shares, Persist Until. Great is the heartfelt joy when after innumerable and apparently unsuccessful attempts, some ingrained fault of character is at last cast out to trouble its erstwhile victim, and the world no more. More people succeed through persistence than through education, through skill set, through knowledge, through wisdom. More people succeed through persistence. So persist at whatever it is that drives you. Persist at whatever it is you love. Persist at whatever it is you want to make the framework of your life. Now, in addition to the words of James Allen, which shares a segment for each day of the month, there are a series of things I do every day to frame my day and frame my mindset and my intentions. I do morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers, forgiving people, places, and things in my life, as well as things I've done or people I may have hurt or offended along the way. I do a gratitude affirmation to say I'm grateful for everything in my life as it is in this moment. I do Ho'oponopono to let myself know that I love and respect and honor me. And if I haven't always lived up to my own expectations, I still love and forgive myself for being human. I do unconditional love affirmations to reframe and refocus my mind that love is the way for us to live our lives. And I collect a positive thought from the Daily Word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. Now, the Daily Word for Sunday, September 17th says, I listen to others with love and respect. What's so powerful about this message is that on Saturday the 16th at my Advanced Toastmasters Club, I gave a presentation that was dealing with communication and coming from our authentic self. And then for Sunday, it says, I listen to others with love and respect. Learn to listen to what others are saying, not with the intention of waiting for them to pause so you could get your point of view out. Learn to listen so you can hear the emotion, the intention, and the desire from the person who's speaking. It's a practice skill, but we can all do that and create better connections and clarify our communications more effectively. All of these messages from James Allen or Daily Word are powerful additions to the transformative transits we're in the midst of experiencing. We have four planets in retrograde. Still retrograde, of course, is Pluto, and he's been retrograde in Capricorn since April 20th. Now, Pluto causes you to delve into your subconscious to decide what's good for you and what's necessary for you. Your addictions will surface. Your paranoia will increase. You'll be aware of areas in your life where you manipulate others in response to your own woundings. Pluto will surface in all of your areas related to power, desires, woundings, and survival. And he won't return direct until later this month on September 28th. Now, Neptune's been retrograde in Pisces since June 16th. Now, Neptune rules our psychic senses, our dreams, our fantasies, our intuition, and our artistic expression. However, when Neptune moves into retrograde, these promptings are heightened to the point that you can't overlook them as easily. You'll explore the world of your unconscious mind via your dreams and hunches that will be more vivid and feel more real. You won't be able to ignore them. So except some days, you'll feel dizzy, drunk, and dazed, and it's just Neptune's way of getting your attention. He disorients to reorient. And Neptune will stay retrograde until November 22nd. Now, on July 1st, Chiron began a six-month period of retrograde in Pisces. Chiron, of course, is our wounded healer. Old wounds surface for healing. Some may come up and clear immediately, but be aware that often areas you believe you have mentally cleared are the ones that will surface demanding attention because they haven't been fully cleared. By showing you your limitations and what holds you back and what makes you feel so different that you dare not show yourself, Chiron leads you along a path to awakening, to the true self of who you are, to your authentic self. And this work will continue until December 5th. Now, Uranus began its retrograde in Aries on August 2nd. And when Uranus is retrograde, it's time to turn inward. Catch your breath. Give yourself time for serious thought about what's needed in your life. Chances are you already know which area of your life has broken down. Now, if not, Uranus will be happy to point it out to you. So stop pretending and denying that your life is all sunshine and rainbows. Do the work. Move forward. Uranus doesn't turn direct until January 2nd, so you've got some time. You have to do the work. Now, as you recall, on August 21st, we had a new moon in full solar eclipse. Whenever there's a solar eclipse, the symbolism of the loss of the sun's light represents us losing our way and needing to find our way back to the light. And a new moon is always about creating intentions. But when the sun is hidden, the new moon sends us inward. Now, like any new moon, a solar eclipse represents the end of one cycle and the beginning of a new cycle, which is why I bring this up. This solar eclipse began a six-month cycle of transformation that will impact each and every one of us. It will impact our country because this solar eclipse sat right on the sun of Donald Trump. Most important aspect in all of astrology is the sun conjunct the moon. So all possibilities are on the table and are still on the table. So So coming forward from August 21st, astrologically, everything is pushing forward this energy of transformation. So if something hasn't been working for you, now is the time to find a different way to do what you've been planning. Old habits, old behaviors, old beliefs, everything can be questioned as you search for new and inventive ways to make progress. This is the ideal time to make a fresh start. Maybe a time for new relationships, new career, new clients. And if your plans haven't been producing for you, it is just time for new. Take a fresh sheet of paper, if you haven't done so already, and write your list of the new. That was a Leo energy new moon solar eclipse in August. That gave us energy moving forward, but we've moved past that Leo sun moon energy. So, and sun left Leo and entered Virgo on August 22nd. Now, this Virgo time that we're still in is the time of detailed planning. It's the time of working out the details of what you need for your plans, organizing it, what steps are necessary, what coordination is required. And for this, the next week or so before the sun leaves Virgo, it's a good time to really pay attention to really the logic necessary for your dreams. We put our dreams in platters and we emotionally connect to them, but we don't always say, what are the necessary steps? What do I have to do before the other? What do I need to find out? Can I move forward while I'm waiting to find out about these other things? Which, by the way, in all cases is yes, yes, yes. This has also been a time when people are criticizing us just as we're criticizing people. Everyone was feeling the energy. It was a good time to check what we said before we said it. And hopefully you've been successful with that. When we started into September, we had several things that happened that worked out really nicely, but predominantly Mercury went direct in Leo on September 5th. That was big for us. That was a big deal because that Mercury retrograde was hampering us, even though we were focused on that Leo energy. You should have cleared up your thoughts, your words. Hopefully you thought twice before you said the things you want to take back. But your thinking and communication would have cleared up. And then Mars entered Virgo. So it's a very big Virgo period because Mars is in Virgo. And so Mars is just downright uncomfortable in Virgo. Mars doesn't like to be held back, likes to kind of run amok and go his own way. So this is a real boundary establishment for Mars. So you may feel that anything you're doing or anything you want to move forward on has been more controlled and perhaps bounded by external factors than you would have liked. Actually, it's a good thing. An unfettered Mars is an unfettered Mars. On September 6th, we had our full moon in Pisces. Now, the full moon was a manifesting energy. And because it was in Pisces, that most sensitive of signs, it was taking that transformation energy that came out of that solar eclipse, that full solar eclipse. And it tells us that this is the time of beginnings and endings. Because we had Pluto, Uranus, Chiron, and Neptune all retrograde when this full moon hit. And since it's about the endings, it was about letting go of whatever delusions you had about people, places, and things. And if you have lingering doubts and you're still holding on to any, let them go. If you've been struggling with what to do about something, release it. Don't look back. If it needs to come back, you'll come back to it in a new and different way. When I was doing readings at the county fair, that was a constant theme that came up for people. And I was consistently reinforcing, if you've been struggling with what to do, drop it. Come back to it in a new and different way. Take a new approach. Don't continue to struggle with what you're trying to do with what's not working. Remember also, no matter what we drop, people, places, and things, drop them with love. Drop them with gratitude for what you've received from them, especially people. Breathe, release. Now, On the 9th, last Saturday, Mercury entered Virgo. So now we've got Mars in Virgo. We've got the Sun in Virgo. We've got Mercury in Virgo. That's a big deal because it's all about doing the work. All Virgo says is do the work. Damn it, nothing happens without the work. A little blood and sweat, and the work gets done. And you get to move forward much more dramatically as long as you're doing the work. Then we've had a variety of aspects that have gone through, but I'm going to touch on the most current. Mostly Venus in Leo, which sextiled Jupiter in Libra on the 15th. Now, here's the thing about the 15th. Those are the two most beneficent planets in the universe that are playing nice with each other. It was a day of good taste. You don't need to buy, but it was a day to remind you to have absolute gratitude for what was in your life. That was just last Friday. And then today, Venus in Leo trines Uranus in Aries. And as I've said many times, a trine is a karmic connection. They're pre-planned and intended to resolve karmic obligations. So in this transit, Venus, our planet of love and beauty and harmony, is walking hand in hand with Uranus. And Uranus is our planet of change and revolution and rebellion. And if you're in a relationship, you may add some new to your relationship. If you're single, you may find a temporary playmate. And temporary is the important word here, temporary. But it's a wonderful day to try new things. It's a creative day to explore your uniqueness. Now, going forward on the 19th, Venus enters Virgo. So Venus will move into Virgo. Now we're going to have all of this Virgo energy leading into our new moon, which is also on the 19th. So Venus is our planet of love, attraction, and harmony, enters the fussy, persnickety sign of Virgo. Now this is a less warm, heart-centric time. You will start parenting yourself, though. You'll get plenty of sleep, the right food, the appropriate activities. You're going to start paying attention to your life. Virgo takes the romance out of love, and Venus will feel uncomfortable there until she leaves Virgo. But your work will get done. Your relationships will survive. Expect to be a little more focused on the details, how, when, and why things get done. Expect everyone around you to be in the same place, focusing on their how, when, and why. And Venus will enter Libra on October 14th. So we're going to have some time here in Virgo with Venus. Be frugal, be simple, do the work, get the rest, and be ready for emotional expansion in October. So as I said earlier, we have Mars in Virgo, we have Mercury in Virgo, Venus enters Virgo on Tuesday, and then we also have our new moon in Virgo. So our new moon is a beginning moon, of course. This is the perfect time for getting organized and taking stock of your life. It's the perfect time for reviewing where you are and where you still want to go. Plant your seeds, visualize, make your lists. Let the universe know what you want along with what you're willing to do in order to achieve it. See, with so many planets in Virgo, and Mercury direct in Virgo, you really will feel and appear capable, competent, responsible, and reliable. So do the work, do the organizing, review your plans, and prepare to see your dreams fulfilled. And then the big day, Friday the 22nd, the Sun enters Libra. The Sun will be leaving Virgo, and we'll have our fall equinox. Now, the Sun moves from the detail-oriented sign of Virgo to the social party sign of Libra. Things will feel lighter. You'll find yourself more outgoing and more social. Now, we no longer have the direct action energy of Libra or the detail focus of Virgo. Now we have the balance scales. You'll go out and about. You'll play nice with others. You may even be more concerned with how you appear to others. Libra is ruled by Venus, who loves love. Libra often prefers to love from across the room, to have that spark of catching eyes across the room, but they don't necessarily want that cuddly, needy, and heavy drama that relationships can bring. More importantly, because this is the time of the autumn equinox, day and night are equal, representing a time of equal light and dark. We're moving away from the time of fertility and growth to an internal time of reflection and reseeding, a time to wind down in preparation for winter. Now, starting with Lammas on August 1st, we've been in the harvest season of the year. Our ancestors would begin gathering the grains in August, followed by the fruits and other root vegetables. Autumn equinox is the time of the waning moon. Break out the blankets, store up the logs for the fire. Prepare to nestle as the power of the sun gives way to the power of the moon. Now I'd like to transition from talking about the astrology to listening to the information presented by Dr. Arnie Buss. Dr. Arnie Buss is a segment host on Good Vibrations Radio and shares information about interpersonal communication in a segment titled Speaking of Listening. At the undergraduate and graduate level for well over 30 years, his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco to King City in California. He joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday of each month. So let's have a musical introduction to Dr. Arnie Buss and his segment, Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I'm your host for this segment, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And as Solazar was talking about forgiveness, that is one of the most important elements in coming to a place of heart-centered communication. When you're coming to a dialogue, a conversation, the idea is not to hold a grudge, to not be holding on to what happened in the past, to be as fully present to the current communication, the current dialogue, as you possibly can. And the more that a grudge is being held, the more that you're holding on to a resentment from the past, the less likely it is that the interaction is going to be a satisfactory one. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't matter how much conflict is involved. If you can come to the communication with an attitude of forgiveness, with an attitude of not holding a grudge, of not holding resentments, then it can improve the relationship. And speaking of listening is about ways of improving your relationships by listening from the heart. And you can contact me about workshops and other things that I offer. You can see my website, which is http://www.consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, consciousawareheart.com. Or email me at ahbuss, A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. And listening is not just about hearing the words that the other person is saying. It's more than that. It's getting to what the underlying messages are, engaging in this dialogue. And the difference between a conversation and a dialogue is one in which a conversation is one that's fairly superficial. You know, you're exchanging information. A dialogue is where you're really sharing more about yourself. And to just so some key concepts that I've talked about previously, kind of before I get into today's topic, you know, I've talked about how we the two places of unconsciousness that we come from are either the judge or the parent, or the victim and the child. And they're actually fairly related because they all have to do with past pains. And when we come from those places, then we find ourselves reacting to what's going on instead of responding. In contrast, what is more effective is to come from the aware heart, in which, again, it's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of not holding on to resentment. It's a place of seeing both the other person and yourself as being okay. It's in a way, you know, in Buddhism they talk about namaste. You know, I honor you, and this is the same kind of idea. Although, you know, I'm not a Buddhist, but I love that concept. And previously, I've talked about some roadblocks to effective communication, you know, things like offering advice or suggestions and solutions, or to interrogate or to analyze and or moralize and judge. And these are all attitudes that get in the way of really finding out what's going on. And today, I want to talk about the most effective way that I have found to engage in this dialogue from a listening standpoint, and that's called tracking. And I've talked about tracking in previous segments, and I want to talk about it more because it is so important. The idea of tracking is that as a listener, you want to focus your entire attention on what the other person is saying. In a way, it's like these communication devices, I think they call them push to talk, where you can either talk or you can listen. And if you push the button and you're talking, then you can't hear what the other person is saying. That's what this is about. In other words, you want to keep your hand off that talk button, and you want to focus the attention on the speaker. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be silent, but it means that all of your attention is focused on what the speaker is talking about. Now, as part of this, if you're listening to someone, you may notice that you have some reactions. And that's perfectly normal. That happens to me. and here's where your conscious part can come into play. And that is to be aware of your reactions, to notice your reactions, and then for the time being, to just put them aside. You know, don't suppress them, don't deny them, but just put them aside. I mean, sometimes I kind of tell the thing that's reacting, you know, why don't you just go over there and hang out for a while. I'll get back to you. You know, don't worry. I'll take care of you. I'll come back to you. But for right now, I want to deal with what's going on here. And that's the idea of trying to stay in your aware heart and to see the other person as okay and to see yourself as okay. It seems to be a truism that you can only see the other person as okay as you see yourself. In other words, if there's something about myself that I'm not okay with, then I can't see you as okay. Because my self-judgment is going to get in the way of being okay with what's going on. Now, so just some specifics of tracking. And the first thing is to only use the pronoun you. Now, this is something that you may be, have some inner resistance to hearing this, because you may have heard about, well, you want to use I statements, and you don't want to say you, use you statements. So now it's important to understand that when I say only use the pronoun you, I'm not saying that you should use it in a you statement. There is a huge difference between using the pronoun you and what a you statement is. A you statement is accusatory. A you statement is judgmental. A you statement is pointing the finger at the other person. But that doesn't mean that the pronoun you is something that needs to be expunged. In fact, to the contrary, it's the most effective one if you use it in the context of tracking. And when you're tracking, that is the only pronoun that you use. And again, this is kind of at the beginning levels. I mean, once you have tracking as a as a facile approach, then worrying about the pronouns, which pronouns you're using, you just kind of forget about all that. Because if you stay in your heart, you don't have to worry so much about that. But at first, this was true of myself when I was learning this, and seems to be true of most people when I am teaching them, that forcing yourself to only use the pronoun you is an effective way to at least kind of get you on the right track. In other words, avoid any other pronoun that involves anybody other than the speaker, such as you don't want to say I, you know, or me, or mine, even us, or we, or our, anything which kind of includes them, that's, try to avoid those. Why? Because you want all of the energy and all of the focus to be on the speaker. And when you say I, or me, then you're putting the emphasis on you, the listener, and you want to be actually as invisible as possible. You want to create a space, an environment in which the other person is more free to express what's going on. And that is greatly facilitated if you use the pronoun you effectively, and you'll see some examples of this. Now, another boilerplate, if you will, that is useful when starting to learn this, but is something which you may want to expunge later as you become more facile with it, is to start responding with the word so or so you. Now, that I find these to be, I call these magic words. And what's magic about them is that they help guide the tracking response. So if you are not sure what to say, and you sort of say so you, and then continue with whatever you can make fit, then that guides you in the right direction. Now, you don't want to, having said that, you don't want to make it very stilted. So you don't want to draw it out. You don't want to say, so you. You want to make it kind of, you know, so you. Yeah, and with practice, you can expand to other things. In fact, it becomes kind of repetitious if you keep saying so. On the other hand, my experience has been that when you really get into the groove, then it actually doesn't matter whether you use it or don't use it. Ideally, you want to make it as conversational as possible. And in other words, you don't want to give the impression that you're using some technique on them. And I know that this may sound like it's a technique, but it really is more than a technique. It's not. I don't really see it as a technique. It's a way of being. It's a way of being with the other person. And the mechanics of tracking simply provide a framework, a structure for this kind of interaction. Now, words and phrases that I think would be best avoided, or anything with the pronoun I. So say, well, I hear you say, or what I'm hearing you say, or if I hear you right, you know, things like that. The thing is, it's not that those are terrible. It's just that they are not really necessary. Instead of saying, you know, so what I hear you say, just cut that out and start with what you're hearing them say. And another, particularly if things are a little bit heated, the phrase "I understand" turns out to be like throwing gasoline on a fire. It's not effective because, especially if the other person is feeling some angst, the thing is that to have someone else say that they understand. I mean, most of us, when we're in that space, our first reaction is, you don't understand anything. So, and in general, things like that, again, direct attention back to you and put the focus on you. So if you say, I understand, then in a way the speaker is saying, well, does he understand? Does she understand? And that's not where you want the speaker to be communicating from. You want the speaker to be moving into their aware heart so that what they're communicating to you is getting in touch with what's really going on. Now, some key points. Again, this all comes down to attitude. Never make anybody wrong. And that means not making the speaker wrong, not making yourself wrong, and not making even anyone else wrong. Even if they're complaining about someone, you don't want to jump into that pit with them and play "Ain't They Awful," because that, you know, even if they are awful, if you play that game with them, then it doesn't help the other person kind of move beyond what's really bothering them. In other words, if somebody did something and I'm feeling upset about that, that upset is mine. The upset is all within me. And the more that I focus or have somebody focus the energy on that other person, the less it's focused on what's really going on, which is all inside me, 100%. So what this means is just to go back to what Solazar was talking about and what I was mentioning in the beginning, avoiding, you know, judging, blaming, and criticizing. I mean, that's all, you know, gets overcome by forgiveness, by letting go. And this includes yourself. And you want to avoid making yourself a target, even if you hear criticism. Because again, making somebody wrong, even if it's making yourself wrong, it does not help the other person. Now, I've spent several segments in the past on how to respond to criticism in particular, and that's not what I'm going to talk about today with tracking. Today, I want to focus on a situation about how do you track when you're not the target. Okay, so here's something that's important, is to pay attention to the operative words. And what do I mean by an operative word? Usually in something that somebody says, if it's got a charge to it, there's a key word or phrase that just kind of captures the essence of that angst. Two words to really watch out for are always and never. Now, just to go on a little bit of a tangent here, the words always and never have very specific literal meanings. Always means always, meaning that something is happening all the time. Never means it never happens. It doesn't happen at all. When people use these words, they never mean them literally. They always mean them figuratively. In other words, if somebody says, you're always late, If you've ever been on time, even just once, then that statement is logically false, because you haven't always been late. If you've been late 99 times and on time once, then you're always late is a false statement. That's logically false. However, if you get caught up in arguing the logic or the semantics of that, then you're going to get in the way of hearing the message. Because what they're really expressing, if they say you're always late, is something else. So here are a couple ways you could track that. You're always late. So you feel you've been kept waiting too many times. Or so you've been kept waiting more times than you feel comfortable with. Or you can kind of go right to the want. You say, so you want to be assured that all appointments will be kept on time and that you can count on it. So you see how you cut through the logic of it and get to the heart of what they're expressing. Because always and never are just used as exaggerations, as emphasis. I mean, it's kind of like these days, people use the word literally to mean figuratively. It's interesting how the language always changes. I mean, here's another example. You know, we never go out. Well, if you've ever gone out one time, it may have been a one time in 10 years, it's still logically false because it's not never. So what's the message? What's the underlying message behind we never go out? It could be any one of a number of things. So one response might be, you know, so you've been missing the time that we spend together or the time spent together and leave the we out. Or you might say, so you want to do more things together. Something like, you know, in other words, get to what the message is. But that hidden, you know, what's interesting particularly about these is that the message is not contained in any of the words. So the message behind we never go out is something like I'm missing the connection, I'm missing spending quality time together. That's not in any, we never go out. There are four words there, the message isn't in any of them. And as I've often said, the message is often not in the words themselves, but what lies underneath the words. And the reason why tracking is so valuable is that it helps you get to what that underlying message is. Now, tracking, when I teach tracking, it has a little bit more of a structure as well that sometimes is useful. And that structure is called the four W's. And the four W's are what the speaker said, why did the speaker say it, what the speaker feels, and what the speaker wants. Now, the first W, the what the speaker says, is only used if the message is long or unclear. So if you hear a really long message and you want to make sure that you have it, then you want to paraphrase as briefly as possible what it is that they're saying, just to make sure that you're both on the same page. However, if it's clear what they're saying, so for example, you know, you're always late, you want to skip over the what. Now, why did the speaker say it? So what we're trying to get here, that's the second W, is to identify what the speaker's internal process is. So for example, you know, just some examples in a generic context, you know, so that caught you by surprise, or, you know, you're always late. So you're not okay with that. That's been going on and you're not okay with it. Or something happened, you know, so you're confused about why that happened and you want to understand. So that's the second W. The third W, the what the speaker feels, is that, now this is kind of tricky. You want to be careful not to overshoot feelings. You want to avoid mind reading. And what's helpful, particularly when you're talking about negative feelings or very intense feelings, is that you actually want to slightly undershoot a bit. You know, just as a general rule of thumb, never tell an angry person that they're angry. That, if you've ever done that, it just tends to increase the temperature a bit. But you know, so you might say something. You know, so you're feeling sad about that. In fact, you leave the word feeling out. So you're sad about that. So you're discouraged about what happened, or so you felt criticized when you heard that. Now the thing is that when you're tracking, you want to stick with those middle two, with that, you know, why do they say it and what they're feeling, until the speaker looks up. And what's a look up? It's kind of hard to describe, but there's actually almost a physical release of energy when they really feel that the listener, you, has gotten what they're about. And until they look up, you keep, you know, going with the why and the what. But when they look up, it means that they have a readiness to move to resolution. And then by then, you've figured out what it is that they want. And either they figured it out or you can validate the fact that they've figured it out, or you can help them see what that is. So you might say something like, you know, so you're ready to resolve this. Or so you want to make sure that, you know, X, Y, Z, or you know, so you want to be assured that everything will be kept on time, as we said before. So here's some examples. So the first one is, you know, a friend says, I was just passed over for a raise. Now here are some responses that have a good heart, but aren't effective. So don't reassure them. So you say, well, oh, I'm sure you'll get it next time. That isn't helpful. Don't make them wrong. I mean, don't make the other person wrong. You can make their boss wrong. Your boss just doesn't appreciate you. That's making them wrong. That's helping dig a pit that this other guy is going to get stuck in. Don't escalate. You know, so I was passed over for a raise. Well, why don't you just quit? Or you should just quit. You know, don't try to fix or give advice. Or, well, you know, I think you ought to talk to your boss about it. And certainly don't hijack. I mean, have you ever been hijacked by someone who, you know, there was a character that Kristen Wiig played on Saturday Night Live, where every time somebody said something, she would kind of one-up them, you know. So you say, well, let me tell you how many times I've been passed over. Again, that isn't very helpful. So how could you track? Well, you know, there are a number of different tracking responses that are effective. So, you know, I was passed over for a raise. You say, well, so you were expecting a raise this time. Or so you're disappointed that you didn't get it, kind of go to the feeling. Or so you're confused as to why that didn't happen. I personally like the last one. Just take a little note about the difference between identifying the feeling or identifying the feeling in kind of a generic way. I find things like confused or you want to understand a little bit more leading to having the person tell you what the feeling is. In other words, it's better to undershoot a little bit than to overshoot. So, you know, so you were confused as to why you didn't get there. You know, confused, I was furious. That was, you know, they promised me that. You know, so that's, so get him to, you know. So it did upset you because you were expecting it. Now, it's interesting how a single word can make a big difference. So they say the same thing. I was passed over for a raise again. Okay. Remember I talked about operative words. Again is the operative word here. okay? Because in the first one, we don't know how many times it's happened. That may be the first time, it may be the 10th, it wasn't said. But when he says again, okay, that really shows that word again is the one that should pop out to you. And again, some tracking responses, the most gentle is, you know, so you were expecting it this time. Or so you feel a raise is long overdue. And you might get down to, you know, so you're not feeling appreciated because of this. Or even to the want. So you want to get the pay that you feel that you deserve. Again, all of these are slightly different, and it depends on, how should I say, like you need to really be paying attention to their tone of voice, to their body language, to their facial expressions, and choose one that matches that. In other words, if they're kind of down in energy, then, you know, some of the early ones, like, so you were expecting it this time, is more appropriate. If there was more anger or more angst about it, then some of the later ones, you know, so you're not feeling appreciated, or you feel you deserve this. Or, okay, here's another example. Your spouse comes home from work. I say, I can't believe what so-and-so did today. Now, again, you don't want to make the other person wrong. You don't want, oh, what a jerk. And you don't want to fix them or offer advice. Oh, you know, you ought to just tell them off. You ought to tell them, give them what for. Now, if they say, you know, again, I can't believe what they did today. They haven't said what they did. So what do you want to do? You want to ask them, so what happened? Okay, but as I've mentioned in other segments, that, you know, that's not terrible. In fact, many people advocate asking questions, but when you're tracking, it's best not to pose things as questions, but pose them as what I call gentle probes, which are a questioning statement that you speak as a statement. So instead of saying what happened, say, so something happened that wasn't okay with you. Or so something happened that really got your goat. So that's a gentle probe. And I've talked about that in other segments, and I will talk about that more in future segments. So, or your friend might say, you know, I had a fight with my brother and now we're not talking. Okay, here's some tracking. You know, so this was a really bad one. Or so that was worse than the other conflicts that you've had. Or perhaps, you know, so something happened that got you so upset. Now, interestingly, there's a gentle challenge that you could give here. And you say, well, now we're not talking. And you might say, and you're okay with that for now. And you're okay with not talking. And notice I said for now, because what I want to do with that response is I want to kind of give almost like kind of a rope, a way out. So you're okay with that for now. And that's a gentle challenge. And I've talked about that in other segments. I say, no, I'm not okay with it. Ah, so then you'd like to see it resolved, but you haven't found a way yet. Or you might, you know, an old standby is, you know, so, you know, I had a fight with my brother and we're not talking, you know, so that caught you by surprise that it got so bad. So those are various ways of tracking, to focus attention on the speaker, to notice your reactions and put them aside for the time being, to not make anybody wrong, to only use the pronoun you, avoiding I, me, us, we, our. And in the beginning, start your response with so or so you, and to make as conversational as possible, and especially to notice the operative words. That does it for this segment. You have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate you listening to me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at a little after 5 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and more in workshops and effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbus@consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word. Visit my website at www.consciousawareheart.com, where I've listed some material, and I also post audios of the various segments. My Facebook is AwareHeart, all one word. And my Twitter, which I occasionally use, is Effect5Con. That's the word effect, the number 5, C-O-N-M, all at one. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
Oh, you should have listened. There is someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago.
I want to thank Dr. Arnie Buss for the information that he shared. I want to remind everyone that this year is a one year. And while it's easy to see that the one is about you as an individual, it's much more than just you as an individual. One is the number of ancient wisdom brought forth in the present. It's the number of creation, the primal force from which all other numbers come forth. The energy of the one is the energy of the doer. It's an aggressive energy needed to create and produce. The one is a strong, determined year for the journey of self. This is your time to be able to bring your authentic you forward. And as I close, once again, I want to share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me, there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. Whatever I give, I do so from my heart. As I close, I want to thank you for listening to Metaphysical Musings on Spirit Talk. Additional shows sharing metaphysical topics can be found at goodvibrationsradio.com. If you have any questions or missed any elements in the show, you could visit solazar.com to contact me or send me an email to solazar@gmail.com. That's solazar@gmail.com. Many blessings. We'll talk again next week. Namaste.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to be free.